Kim, thanks very much. Eric Zorn is here, feisty columnist for your Chicago Tribune, but Kevin has some breaking news. Kevin, can you share this with us?
It's SB Nation reporting that the Aroldis Chapman trade has happened.
Aroldis Chapman, formerly of the New York Yankees, we discussed him earlier. He's a guy who's had some off-the-field issues, both with a gun and with domestic abuse charges. And we were saying earlier, is it worth it to compromise the integrity of the team?
Evidently it is.
I guess it is. I guess it is.
Boys will be boys, right?
Boys will be boys.
I wonder who they traded him for. I know that they were talking about some.
It's a young kid, an 18-year-old shortstop.
Just one. I thought they were talking about maybe two. Well, I don't know. Anyway, whatever. I mean, it seems like they're sacrificing their future and selling their souls a little bit to get this guy. What was that movie Damn Yankees where the senators sold their soul to the devil to
right.
get to him. I mean these charges, he pleaded guilty to the gun charges, right? But
he says he never laid hand on his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He almost went to the Damn Yankees too. They were in the mix as well.
Well, he was with the Damn Yankees. Yeah.
But
it's hard to root for a guy. I was saying it's hard to sit at Wrigley and root for a guy. You want the team to win, but then a guy comes in and you go, wow, this guy's a little bit of a
loose cannon. I raised this issue earlier this morning on Twitter. I just was, you know, kind of concerned about this possible trade. And someone was saying, well, what do you expect these pro athletes to be, choir boys? A lot of them have issues. And that is true. A dismaying number of professional athletes have issues like this. But
usually not baseball, though.
Baseball is not so much, and these charges are particularly disturbing. You know, like he was choking or allegedly choking her and so on. It's done, right? And
so you're not going to watch the Cubs?
No, I'm still going to watch
the
Cubs.
He's going to turn it off when they bring him in.
I'm still going to want them to win, but it would be hard to physically cheer for a guy, even though I want the team to win. And I don't know. These are still just charges, but I'd prefer that they had not gotten him. I know that sounds strange because I want to see them go all the
way.
You
wouldn't be a very good businessman, I got to tell you.
I'd be a terrible businessman.
Which I would be, too. We think with our heart too much. It's a business.
You know, I had a little bit of a gambling thing for a while. And there's an analogy to gambling where they say you always have to bet with your head, not with your heart. And that cost me money over the years, was betting with one and
you
not the other.
You weren't a good gambler?
Rams are tough animals.
Wait, you weren't a good gambler?
No, you know what? Actually,
I was,
but there were a couple, teams that I would look at. Because I love the Dolphins, I had a hard time betting against the Dolphins. There were times where I'd go, what's wrong with you?
They clobbered the Bears back in 85.
I know.
They must be good.
I know. So Aroldis Chapman is a Cub, for better or worse. We don't know yet. We'll see how that plays out. But you guys get what I mean, right? It's tough to root for a guy, and these are just charges, I guess. But I would have preferred them not gotten him.
Now, before we went on the air, you and I were trying to remember the name. The Bears have brought in some players who have some iffy pasts.
Right.
And certainly they've had people who've had problems while they were here, too.
Yes.
And you know, what do you do? I guess you look the other way a little bit. We wag our fingers here and we move on, right?
One of our listeners called in before and said, what about the Bulls when they took on Dennis Rodman? Dennis Rodman was one of basketball's most problematic children. He did well here.
I don't think, did Dennis Rodman have, were there, I mean, he was a very odd person, but I don't remember any
no domestic abuse, right?
No, the Bulls, there probably have been some other people in the Bulls over the years.
Without a doubt.
This is kind of troubling, but go Cubs, right?
Let's see what happens. All right, the Republican convention came and went with really no major stories, nothing out of the ordinary
what?
There.
It was
my covers really? Are still up over my head.
There's really nothing of note that happened there in Cleveland that I can think of anyway.
It would be better to say what didn't happen.
I know.
And now, according to a CNN poll, Trump is ahead of Hillary Clinton in a national poll.
Did he get a bounce?
Yes.
On a convention? It's typical for a convention to give a little bit of a bounce to the candidate.
Sure.
I don't think that's too surprising.
Everything surprises me.
And really, the polls taken at this point during the cycle can be very misleading. Remember, Mike Dukakis was way out in front of
at some point.
George H.W. Bush. During right after the conventions, he had like a 17-point lead or something like that, and they were measuring the drapes in the White House for the Democrats. So it's hard to tell. you know, I mean, the Republican convention was sort of a nightmare for them, and things were going wrong every single day. And then the last day, things went pretty well, but that speech was really gloomy. And Bill Maher said, if it were any darker, it would have been shot by the police.
Wow.
It's just, it's basing everything on fear, which we have. I mean, look at the news. Look what's going on every single day. I wake up to an alert of something that has happened. So we are fearful, but don't capitalize on our fear.
Well, you know, in his speech, Trump did identify some things that are worrisome. I mean, some of the crime things he's throwing out are basically anecdotal. You look at the number of cops who've been shot this calendar year, and it's no more than it was last year. And in fact, it's down from 2 years ago. I mean, these statistics, depending on the coverage and how we see them. Now, obviously, murders are up in Chicago. Shootings are way up in Chicago. That's a problem. It's not the kind of thing that you can ask a president to solve. This is a local issue. This is a mayor in working with a state legislature sometimes that can work on crime problems. It's not, you know, he said, I'm going to appoint the best prosecutors. Like, you don't appoint prosecutors. You're not, you, the president doesn't do that, Mr. Trump. You know, I don't think he even understands what his role is. The thing that was, I mean, and then some of the problems he pointed out, you know, that obviously we're losing manufacturing jobs and wages are stagnant and this recovery has not been good to great segments of the population. It's very frustrated with politicians. But my problem with his speech had to do with its lack of any sort of sense of what's he going to do about it.
He's just going to fix it. It's not how he's going to fix it. He just said whatever the problem
is. Who is that? Who is that Saturday Night Live character? He was the candidate and they had him on and he would say
Tim Calhoun.
Is that how do you remember
See,
that?
I knew he would remember this.
That was Will Forte playing Tim Calhoun.
That was the guy reading from his cue card. This was the guy who would say just say fix it. Goes, well, we got all these problems, and I'll tell you what we got to do. We got to get together and fix it.
But now somebody called in when we brought this up that there were no examples of how you plan on going through with these plans. And someone, remember, they suggested they're saving it. He was saving it for the debates.
Oh, right.
Well, if he is, he's also hiding it from his website. He's only got about 7 pages of stuff on his website. Hillary Clinton's got 40 pages of deeply footnoted policy proposals. I mean, the difference between the candidates in that area is really strong. I don't know when on day one, you know, the crime and violence are going to stop under me. Like, what? That's a crazy thing to say.
Right.
How is that going to happen?
Well, exactly. The first of all question is how's he going to even reduce it? But the idea that he can promise to bring it to zero, he's going to say, I'm going to put coal miners, I'm going to put steel workers back to work in the U.S. Well, how do you do that without kicking off a trade war that would be brutal on the middle class and lower income earners? I mean, when you're talking about starting trade wars, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, we have the lifestyle that we have is that we're able to buy relatively cheap clothing, relatively cheap television sets, and so on. All these jobs going overseas has not been a complete negative to our standard of living here. And I'm not saying that all these trade-offs have been worth it and that all these trade deals we've struck have been good. I'm not an expert on international trade policy. I know that you wanted to introduce me that way.
Yeah, I do.
And I resisted that because don't say international trade expert Eric Zorn, because I just can't live up to that.
Well, there's also the fixing of the bridges and the building of the airports and all those things that he talked about. But to pay for that, that means not just an increase in taxes, but a tremendous increase in taxes.
Right.
We left that part out, but those things don't pay for themselves.
Exactly. I mean, and this is why, you know, my column on Sundays, I said, I think he's a con man. And I mean that almost in an analytical way. I think he's come in, he said, look, we have big problems and I can fix them. I'm the guy, I'm your voice. Only I can solve them. I'm not going to tell you how. And it's a classic con game. Like he gets your sense of like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. Even though if you stop and listen to him for a minute, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't offer anything. He's just saying, I'll change things.
Was not a messiah, Eric. Was Scott Baio wrong? Is he or is he not a messiah? Is
Scott Baio a messiah?
No, Scott Baio is definitely not a messiah, but he talked about Donald Trump not being a messiah.
I swear to Chachi.
I'm taking that shrine down in my office.
Oh, you have to take it down. Eric Zorn is here and he's feisty, but you knew that was going to happen. Stick around. More of this in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. Eric Zorn is here of the Chicago Tribune. He stops by every Monday and we talk about things in the news. Just a little bit more on the Republican side, and then we'll switch to tonight's Philadelphia convention for the Democrats. Newt Gingrich is on CNN the other night, and he's talking about Donald Trump's speech at the end. And they call him out on the fact about violent crimes, because even though in some cities, our own, Washington, D.C., and a couple of other major cities around the country, over the last 15 or 20 years, violent crimes are actually declining. They're not going up. They're declining. We have a problem here, and D.C. does, and a few other cities do. But for the most part, those numbers are declining, and they're declining nicely. So Newt Gingrich said it's more important that the perception is that violent crimes are going up, and they called him out on it. And they go, but
go ahead.
But violent crimes are going down, and he dismissed that.
He said it doesn't matter. It matters what people feel.
Right.
It matters how you
more
feel.
More than the
it
actual crimes
matter.
Themselves.
And you know, in some, politically, he's kind of right.
But what does that say about everything if we're playing more on fear than on actuality? Isn't that tragic?
It is, and I thought that was really infamous. I heard that whole conversation. I was thinking, like, he's gonna come back. He's gonna say, well,
he didn't
in certain areas, but yeah, you're right. And if you look at the high back in the 90s, I mean, the crime slope is just down, and we've had a blip up this year in Chicago. But even in Chicago, even as badly as this year is going, it's still not as bad as it was.
Right.
When things were at their worst, so. The idea that perception is what matters, and of course that's what the game of politics is, right? It's about creating these perceptions,
and it is a game.
Which gets back to my whole thing about a con man, which is like he's going to say, "Hey, things are really bad. I'm going to fix them for you." Well, even when things aren't really bad, and the same thing is true of the economic recovery. I mean, there are good things about it, and there are things that have not been as good. But the idea that this country is like in some sort of downward economic spiral is crazy. I mean,
right.
We've had 78, 79 straight months of job growth. Now, wages are not going up the way we want them to. There are issues. But the thing is that this is a very complicated problem. It's not like you just elect a guy who runs some casinos and he's going to come in and go, okay, well, I'll fix that. We'll get more money. We'll tell China to pay us more.
Right.
Well, China's not going to do that. A lot of these trading partners aren't going to do that. We're in these trade deals, and we're not going to be able to just say, oh, you know, we're not going to abide by that, and we're going to put huge tariffs on your goods, and that's going to be the answer. You can't do that. And the sense that of the limits of what a president can do, the limits of the power. I mean, I hope that this is what comes out during this debate, which is like if Donald Trump has some ideas, he has some policy proposals that differ from Hillary Clinton's, and hear them and contrast them and look at their plausibility and their possible effect, then let's hear that. Let's have that debate. But let's not have this entire campaign based on illusory fears and promises that no one can keep.
Sure.
So that's really the issue that's going on.
For years, Eric, people have said if we had a vice president who played the harmonica, we would be in pretty good shape.
I was one of them who said that.
I've heard you say that. Tim Kaine is a harmonica player, so that seems to all fit into the master plan, doesn't it?
Is he blues? Is he a blues harmonica player?
He does a little bit of everything.
Folk? You just play like "This Land Is Your Land."
He does, whatever you want.
Hey guys, I have another update for you.
What's up, Ken?
I apologize. On I-55 at Cicero, now it appears the Stevenson is closed in both directions in that area. But we have heard that they have made contact with all the people. It was two semis, two cars. One person went to the hospital in good condition, so it appears everybody is okay. But it's going to be you're going to be sitting there a while. If you're sitting on the Stevenson, it's going to be a while. So all lanes closed in both directions.
Thanks, Kim. Keep us posted on that. What do you expect to have happen in Philadelphia over the next couple of days?
Well, I expect to hear a lot of Trump bashing.
Do you?
Already this morning, W. Wasserman Schultz was booed and hooted
at.
And of course, there's this whole email scandal.
Who hacked? Who hacked into it to find out that...
They think the Russians, they think
the Russians. The FBI is investigating it. The Russians have hacked in before, so it's certainly possible. The other thing is...
Artemi Panarin.
Well, we were talking...
it's Panarin's work.
I tell you what.
They're paying him bread.
Well, we were having a conversation this morning, the editorial board, about what this all means. And you know, the point I made was like, well, we can say right now, well, this doesn't seem like much, or this is, but we don't know what else is coming. I mean, the whole pattern of WikiLeaks is they don't give you everything at once.
Right.
They're going to rip this
out
over
a little
a few
at a
days.
Time. Yeah.
And there may be some other stuff, some worse stuff coming. Essentially,
they alluded to just that. They said there's more stuff coming. They know there's more stuff coming.
So for us to say anything about it definitive right now, it's really hard to say. Right now, what we have is clear evidence that the Democratic National Committee was in the tank for Hillary Clinton. That they
favoring
really
her over Bernie.
That wasn't a big surprise. W. Wasserman Schultz, who's the chair of the DNC, was always on the talk shows touting Hillary's candidacy. So it wasn't a huge surprise, the fact that they were looking to exploit the fact that they thought that Sanders might not believe in God.
That was troublesome.
That was
very
troublesome.
They said push him on that because the fact that it's a Jewish guy who would have to admit he doesn't believe in God, that should be crumbling for him. That's not good.
Wait, I think Sanders has denied that, and I would hope that that wouldn't make a difference, although I know that it would.
Right. So
right now, I don't think there's this huge scandal yet. It's a budding
Although
controversy that
this,
could
this
get
pushes
worse.
People to Trump's side saying, see why we don't want a politician?
Well, it also pushes some Bernie Sanders people over to the Green Party or the Libertarian Party. And there's a lot of anger there. And they're going to be protesting in the streets of Philadelphia. The Sanders supporters are still angry about this. And I don't think they're going to. It'll be interesting to hear how the speech that Bernie Sanders gives tonight. And that's the first thing that we're going to be looking for. The rest of the week is star-studded week. Barack Obama's going to speak. Bill Clinton is going to speak. It's going to be Biden and of course, Tim Kaine will speak.
And play the
harmonica. I think maybe he's going to have one of those one-man band things like Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, that would be great.
With the drum.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Bert the Chimney Sweep.
He's going to talk in a Cockney accent.
Oh, that'll be great.
Really, he's going to speak in Spanish. In a Cockney accent.
And we'll talk about that in the second half of our show, of him speaking Spanish and a certain CNN pundit who had some choice words to say about that.
But it's going to be an interesting week. And I just, you know, Sanders supporters, I respect their passion. I really
do.
But we're down to a choice between two people. One of two people is going to be the next president. And if you go off and you cast your symbolic vote for a Green Party because you're protesting, it may make you feel good. But if enough people do that and Donald Trump is elected, then it's kind of on you. You know, you're the one who's making that decision. So I'm going to be saying that quite a bit, I think, in various forms.
Your votes matter.
Because votes matter and you know, casting symbolic or protest votes, maybe there's a time for that, but certainly not in a general election.
It's about to get real.
When the stakes are high. That's
sure. Eric Zorn. I told you he'd be feisty. I told you. Thanks, Eric. Have a great week. We'll take a quick break, find out what Kim has in the news, and then what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.